You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the Mom.
And I'm Dr. Bar the Doc, and welcome to Mom and Doc Talk. We are joined today by a member of our team, Dr. Amber Petersons. We're going to do one of our homeopathy quickies to talk about suppression. So welcome, Dr. Petersons. We're really happy to have you joining us to talk about this. I know it's one of your favorite topics to talk about, so welcome.
It is. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's just dive in. Let's start with like just the concept of suppression. So let's talk about what suppression actually is. What is and is not suppression?
Yeah, so I just decided to start off with a basic definition of suppression. So suppression or palliation of disease is the removal of the external symptoms of disease by external mechanical, chemical, or topical treatment, or by a powerful drug given internally in massive doses, which can have a physiological or toxic effect on the body, but no true therapeutic or curative effect. That's a fancy way of basically saying it's a way of taking one external symptom away to get rid of it for comfort or, you know, out of necessity, but not actually curing the disease that's present. And I think the best way to like kind of start talking about it is an example, right? Like, where would we like apply the word suppression? I think the most common place that we see suppression is with eczema. And oftentimes we'll put on a topical corticosteroid to get rid of the itchy eczema or the ugly eczema that we see. And although that may get rid of the eczema that we see, it doesn't get rid of the disease in the body.
Yeah. So, I mean, like there can be a little bit of a differentiation between people like wanting to understand differences between palliation and suppression. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, I mean, there's some difference and some overlap, and it can get really, really sticky because, you know, like you think it's not just like using steroids. Steroids are definitely suppressive, where they just completely try and shut down the process that's happening. Anti-inflammatories are palliative to suppressive. You know, like they're trying to suppress the inflammatory response, which is a normal, important response for the immune system to have when the body's under threat or injured or anything like that. And, you know, using things like for headaches or like, you know, using, other therapies, maybe not like steroids, but like oatmeal baths, that's to try and like relieve some of the itch and the discomfort. That's more on the palliative side because it's not like such a strong medication that's going to drive things down further. But it is still, you can give some relief, but it's not actually helping to heal the underlying disease process that's contributing to like the discomfort. Yeah. So suppression really makes a huge difference in homeopathy, right? Because, you know, homeopathy is not a suppressive medication. It's not a suppressive therapy. And using suppressive therapies when you're trying to use homeopathy can be challenging, right? It can make things a little bit harder. It can complicate the picture. So let's talk a little bit about why suppression matters when you're talking about homeopathy.
Yeah, I think the most important thing for me with dealing with homeopathy and suppression is just not being able to see that symptom, right? We kind of take away our ability to see both the healing progress and the progression of the disease. If we treat the eczema and it disappears, we no longer can see it, right? So we don't know that the disease process is still there. And we also don't know if our remedy is affecting it positively because we can no longer see it. And so the first and foremost is just taking away my ability to see the case as a whole. And then I think the other part where things get a little sticky with the suppression is that when we get rid of something or hide it, like in the case of eczema, where we get rid of the ugly eczema or the itchy eczema, it doesn't get rid of the disease, and it's more likely to come back up in the future. So we find it important to know as part of the history, because if we see the eczema come back up during healing, we're going to celebrate it, right? We're not going to be scared of it. And I think this is really important when we look at the kind of atopic triad, right? That's what we call it, where you have eczema, asthma, and allergies. And so in most kiddos, they find if they have eczema early on in life, they're very likely to develop allergies and asthma later in life. And so if we do not see the eczema when they're young and actually heal it homeopathically, then they're more likely to develop it into asthma later on. If we can actually heal the eczema early and we see that it is truly healed with homeopathic care, then we can know that we're likely preventing the onset of that deeper pathology, like asthma or allergies.
Yeah. So from the homeopathic perspective, when we suppress things, as you said, Dr. Peterson, it's not only just taking away the ability for us to see what's happening, but it can actually create more complex chronic states. So something that could be like first early sign acute state, it both drives it deeper because it's not addressing the condition, but it's adding in the extra like harmful factor, ultimately, where like because our bodies are responding to everything that we do to it, every topical ointment we put on it, everything we eat, every medication we take, our body has a reaction to it, and it can increase the complexity because we've got all these side effects, right, of the medications. And the side effects are, we call them side effects because they're unwanted effects, but they are effects of the medication. And our body sort of starts to incorporate them into the condition itself too. So it can make things more complex the more we use suppressive treatment, because we're having the natural disease process that we're already having, the natural underlying susceptibility, plus the way that our body is reacting to the suppressive medications that we've used. And they sort of combine together and create a more complex state, which can impact overall healing. So I'm going to pause for just a second for both of us, Dr. Petersons, and see if Jody has anything that she needs us to clarify for the moms, or if she's got any comments or questions.
I feel like this all makes really good sense to me, only because we've been all the way through it. And I think we kind of have to go backwards and acknowledge that in the beginning, this stuff that you guys are talking about is really, really confusing and hard to wrap your brain around, because as moms, we're coming in and we're just now learning about homeopathy, that we have the ability to actually heal what's going on inside our kids' bodies. Also, we have the pressure of so many things to suppress. The number one thing is our desire to help our kids as quickly as we possibly can. And I feel like there was like an unlearning process I had to go through, and kind of being okay with not suppressing. And also it took me a long time to understand why we didn't want to suppress things, because if I was suppressing Avery's symptoms, you weren't seeing them clearly. And so I just want to acknowledge for anybody that's in the beginning or even the middle of the healing journey that suppression feels, or not suppressing something feels kind of funny in the beginning, being asked to not give something to allow homeopathy to help it. That is kind of a awkward feeling. And it's, again, just kind of some unlearning that we have to do from everything that we've been taught before we get to homeopathy.
So I feel like the next thing we really need to talk about is that there are some situations where a homeopath might recommend you use some suppressive therapies, right? Or palliative therapies, or, you know, antibiotics or something like that, which is not really like necessarily suppressive or palliative, but it sort of is, because it's this whole like its own category, right? There are going to be some times, especially if you have like a medically trained homeopath, that they might recommend that you use some suppressive therapies for a short time. And, you know, in our experience, Dr. Peterson's, I'm sure you can speak to this to some degree or completely, maybe even better than I can. But sometimes we'll have somebody who's just in such an acute state, or such a prolonged time that they've been in a, like essentially like a prolonged acute state, really, really intense space, that the body, it might be responding to the homeopathic care, but they're not responding fast enough to get into a place of safety. So like oftentimes it's when we're going to recommend something, it's because of a safety issue, even just, you know, to give the body a bit of relief so that it can have the ability to have a bigger response to the homeopathic remedy, with the goal being to get off of the medication as quickly as we possibly can and as safely as we possibly can, which doesn't necessarily mean as fast as we would necessarily want to. I use an analogy a lot of, like, you know, forest fires, right? Like homeopathy is both trying to put out a forest fire and work on the kindling, right? So the kindling is the susceptibility to having a fire in the future. Homeopathy can help put out the fire too, but sometimes if it's like a raging fire that's just going like bananas, homeopathy is not going to have the same impact as something that is more forceful and more suppressive and palliative. And sometimes in order to be able to do the work to address that susceptibility and get it under control, we have to bring in the big guns, right? We have to bring in the helicopters and the fire retardants and all of those things to just get it so that our body can even respond and we can have just a little bit of relief and the ability to see what's happening. So anything you want to add to that about times that you would recommend suppression, Dr. Petersons?
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely in emergency situations, right? Like if it's life or death, right, we're going to take the suppression because we have to, right? We need to have the time to be able to heal, which does take time, right? It's not going to happen in seconds like a rescue inhaler works, or like an EpiPen works, or like oral steroids can work in a lupus flare. And so there's definitely a time and a place where we have to cut off that emergency response, right? And then also, I think there's a place where we're extremely uncomfortable, right? Like life is unbearable because the symptoms are so bad, right? They're so uncomfortable, they're so painful, they're beyond something that somebody can deal with, right? And so when I'm trying to answer that question, you know, for moms when they're like, should I suppress? And you know, I don't feel comfortable with not suppressing. Like, when is that answer? Like for me, we're okay with being a little bit uncomfortable, right? A little bit of itchiness, a little bit of burning, a little bit of, discomfort is okay. And most of us kind of know that line, right? Of what is an okay amount of discomfort. And we just kind of treat because we're, you know, trying to help our kids and we don't want them to be in any discomfort. But in reality, we know they can survive a certain level of discomfort with their itchy eczema. Or another great example is warts, right? Warts are only so uncomfortable. Sometimes they can be painful. Sometimes they can bleed. They're ugly, right? But it's only so much discomfort, right? For a lot of reward, potentially. And I can say a lot of moms will say, you know, you want me to not treat the warts. We might pass them, or they might spread, or whatever it is. And when they don't treat the warts and they see homeopathy affect the warts, it really allows them to see what's happening. Because I see the warts as like the tip of the iceberg, and the iceberg melting. And so when that wart disappears, it's a lot of proof of what the remedy is doing and able to do. And so sitting with the discomfort can be really rewarding as well, so long as it's within that reasonable limit.
Right. And that what the reasonable limit is going to differ from person to person, right? And so we always have to work with the person who's in front of us and the situation that they're in, so that we can find the best solution for them as possible. Like we, while we are experts in homeopathy, we're not like, extremists by any stretch of the imagination. Like we understand, it's not like homeopathy and that's it and nothing else. There are some people who practice homeopathy that are like, you have to stop everything, which is not safe. And that you have to stop everything and you have to do only this. And that's all that you can ever do. And if you ever use anything else, it's not going to be like, that's just one, not realistic. Two, especially in PANS and PANDAS, there are some medications that is unsafe to stop abruptly. And reality is that like sometimes in PANS and PANDAS, these kids can be in states that like they themselves are a danger to themselves or others, depending on the nature of what they're experiencing. And so we have to look at the totality, and like that might be different for some people than others. And the reality is too, people have different responses to conventional suppressive palliative medications. For some people, it actually makes things worse. And so it's not an option. And I just want to put that out there too, for anybody who might be listening, who is feeling pressure to use those things, but the reality is it doesn't work for your kiddo and it potentially makes them worse. Jody, I know you've had some experiences with that yourself too. And I see that you're dying to say something. So go ahead.
What is we've had lots of experiences with things not working or going very opposite of the way that they go for normal kids. So I'm constantly telling moms in the group that, you know, we have to sort of get comfortable sitting in this space of in these symptoms, and this is part of it. I think that the important thing as moms is we know what our kids' too much is. And I think, you know, it's kind of easy to know when it's like Avery's too much was when and I won't even explain exactly what too much was, but there were certain scenarios where I'm like, okay, this is too much pain or this is too long and we just need a temporary break. And those temporary little suppressions were okay as long as it didn't turn it into a long-term thing. So I think that's the most important thing is just knowing our children's threshold. And I love the fact that, you know, resilience, you guys are not like all or nothing. Like if we need to come in and do something for a second, we can. But also in order to get past these symptoms, we're going to have to sit in them so you guys can see them. So getting comfortable in that space too.
And that's where it can get a little bit difficult is that the healing trajectory changes, honestly, when you introduce these medications and I keep saying medications, but it can include herbs. It can include high dose nutrients. It can include lots of things like anything that's being used to be a biochemical force in the body can create complications. So we have to think about what our long-term ultimate goal is and what we can live with on the way to getting to that goal, right? So the reality is for some people, they would rather take 7 years to heal, but be an easier 7 years, which means that they might be using medications and very gradually making the changes when the body is able to, so that it is as little impact on the family's overall functioning as possible. And that's fine. You just need to understand that you're signing up for a longer course, right? That it's going to take longer than somebody who is all in, willing to deal with the ups and downs that come with healing with homeopathy without going in and suppressing things. We also need to accept that when we suppress things or when we've had a history of suppression, that you're probably going to see some symptoms come back. So returnable symptoms, Dr. Peterson, you mentioned it earlier, like we're going to celebrate eczema when we see it come back if they had it as a child, instead of seeing it as like a bad thing. And it can be hard for parents, right, Jody, to like see something and you're like, oh my gosh, why is this coming back? Especially if it's like a symptom that they had at the beginning, like, oh my gosh, this is a tick that I haven't seen since the beginning of PANS. Hooray. Thankfully it's back, because the reality is, I mean, we should probably talk about this really briefly because we want to keep this short, but like the reality is progression of the condition also can suppress older symptoms, right? So suppression of medication is mostly what we're focusing on. But even if you didn't use medication, so if you're like, oh my gosh, we had eczema, but we never did anything. We were the crunchy parents that just did oatmeal baths and we moved on. It could still come back, because if the condition itself was still not addressed with the underlying susceptibility with homeopathy, it really wasn't fully healed. It just got suppressed by the next stage of the condition, right? Yeah. What do you want to add here, Dr. Petersons?
Yeah, well, I think the returnable symptoms aspect, I think maybe an example that some of us could relate to out there is when some kiddos have been treated for constipation with Miralax, right? And we see a lot of neuropsychiatric symptoms post Miralax usage. A lot of people experience that. If in the treatment of those psychiatric symptoms, right, we see constipation come back, right? This is very good, right? Because we're going back to that old place before they ever introduced Miralax and ever had neuropsychiatric symptoms. Yes, we still have to take care of the constipation because it was never taken care of, but it's a whole lot better than neuropsychiatric symptoms for parents who have unfortunately had to experience that, right? Constipation is nothing in comparison to that stuff.
I love that you say this is very good. Like your view of it is this is very good, but a mom's view of it is like, oh my gosh, like homeopathy isn't working. This is crazy. And it's so hard to like kind of relax out of that and just realize that, you know, even though these things are coming back, that's not a good thing on the homeopathy, like your side of things. It's really good and exciting because that's more information for you, which can help you get to closest as possible to the best remedy. So it's just relaxing our post-traumatic stress responses when we see those things come back.
And letting us tell you that too, right? Because like we are here to guide you and let you know. And sometimes just hearing, right, that this is good and we expect to see it puts us a little bit at ease, right? That it's not all falling apart, but it's actually going the way that we expect. But I do empathize with that.
So the long and short of it is that suppression can create more complex states, and homeopathy can still help us work through those complex states. It might just take a little bit longer. That suppression is neither, it's not 100% good nor 100% bad, right? Because sometimes it is necessary to just help in the situation where we're at. And the reality is, I think that working with yourself, as Jody has said, and working with your provider to help understand which states are what you can tolerate and what your child can tolerate for the ultimate goal, and of getting to a place of healed and recovered faster, and understanding that like it might feel harder, but that even though it looks harder or feels harder in the moment, it's not actually creating a worse state, even though it might feel like it for a minute, or for a few months or however long it takes. That it feels like things might be getting worse, but actually things are being allowed to be as they are so that the body can work through its healing response to homeopathic remedies so that it can get back into its own place of homeostasis rather than just suppressing. Because it's like backwards thinking, even as I'm trying to explain it, like suppressing feels like you're making things better because the symptom is going away, but the symptom is not actually going away from a place of healed. It's going away from a place of just like putting out a fire, but the fire is still burning beneath it. So it's not even putting the fire all the way out. It's like containing the fire. And so it's going to keep coming back up and coming back up until we actually can get to the point that the body is healing from it.
I love this chat because this is so like, it's so important for us as moms to understand this part of it right here, because it's, again, it's all part of the unlearning that we have to go through. And so I love this chat.
And just to take the opportunity to encourage moms too with their other kids and moms who maybe experienced with one of their kids, but not their others. Is if there is eczema, if there is constipation, if there is warts, right? These are all symptoms of disease, right? And if we potentially treat them with homeopathy now, right, it prevents them from getting worse or progressing. And so just taking the opportunity to seek out homeopathic care for everyone in the family, not just your PP kiddo.
Right. And like you said, you know, with especially for people who have a greater likelihood or risk factors because of what's going on in your family. If there's autoimmune in anybody in the family, it's greater risk for everybody. It's not necessarily like, especially if you're getting to the place where you're seeing early signs of Pan's Pandas, it's not like you're putting like an umbrella and you're just like, boop, stop, we started homeopathy and nothing is going to potentially get worse. But the earlier we address things, the less complex disease is likely to come about. So it's not like we can just, you know, even if you start with like constipation or eczema, like you were talking about Dr. Peterson's, it's not like you're just like, oh, you know, we started and the eczema is only going to get better from here, from this point that we started it at. But this is different than like early stage of PANS where you already have complex disease that has progressed to the point where PANS is showing up. This is trying to prevent the creation of complex chronic disease. Does that make sense? I'm just like, I'm presenting a conference about this. Like, so this little nuance matters to me right now for some reason.
No, I'm glad you clarified that because I think it's a very important point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you've got any questions about the topic that we shared here, I know it can be really, I mean, even as we were talking through it, there's a lot of nuance. There's a lot of, you know, things to really consider. Feel free to reach out to us if you've got questions that we can clarify just on the informational or educational side. If you happen to be working with a homeopath and you've got questions about this in your specific case, definitely take it to them so that you can really help have an informed decision and that you can work together and do shared decision-making to make sure that you are making the right choices for you and your family and discussing what that will ultimately mean. So reach out to us again if you have any questions. How to get in touch with us are in the show notes. And until we talk to you guys again, take care, everybody.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.